Your name?
Maria Jones.
Maria Jones, Mayor Adrian Fenty is running for a re-election based on, largely based on school reform. You were at the forefront of the target end of this so-called school reform some 3 years ago, and at the height of his popularity, he attempted to close 24 schools, but only 23 were closed. John Burroughs was not. You were at the forefront of that effort with parents at John Burroughs to stop that school from closing. Talk about that fight.
It was a struggle from the very first outset that we heard the announcement on television and read it in the Post that our school would be closed with 23 other schools. We immediately went into action by organizing a campaign to illuminate Burroughs as the quality school that it is. We had to hit the ground running with facts about our school, and we had to resist and stamp out the lies that were being propagated against us by Michelle Rhee and Adrian Fenty.
What were some of those lies? And why was John Burroughs slated for closure? Is it a low-performing school?
It is not, and it was not at the time. And that was one of our first questions is, what is the criteria for closure? And they cited low enrollment and failing test scores, or just failing. And we did not match any of those criteria by any means at all. At the time, we had 250 students, which was a nice enrollment. And at the time, we were 12th in math and 15th in reading out of 81 schools. So we had hit all of our AYP marks. So we weren't failing in the least bit. And just several merits and several honors. We're the only Middle States accredited school in Ward 5, and that in and of itself is a high honor. At present, we're becoming a STEM school, which is science, technology, engineering, and math. So that's another very laudable designation. So those were the type of lies that were being, a case was being built against not just John Burroughs, but all of the 23 schools, that they were failing and low performing and they weren't utilizing space. And that couldn't be further from the truth. So we had to immediately wage a media campaign that, like I said, illuminated John Burroughs to be this quality educational center. And that's what we did. So we thank God for it. And there were all of a small army of parents, including Clarence Cherry. At the time, he was our PTA president, and he sacrificed everything, as did many of our parents, to just resist the injustice of that closure. And we managed to do it. Thank the Lord.
How would you describe so-called school reform? And were the school closures, were they equally dispersed throughout the city?
No, they were not. As I understand, most of the closures, well, in Ward 5, we had 9 schools close. And then there were schools to close in all but Wards 3. Ward 3 did not have any schools close. And as you know, that's a predominantly white ward. And in Ward 2, the only school that closed was Stevens Elementary, which was a citywide school, basically, but it was highly attended by African Americans. So it was not equitably dispersed at all. And presently, what we're looking at is we in Ward 5, we have been forced to accept this pre-K through 8 model. So we had to, as a compromise, we had to become a K through 8. Which now we have 7th and 8th graders. We have middle schools. But we're middle school students. We cannot really accommodate them properly because we have not been given the resources, the physical infrastructure to support those and accommodate the students of Ward 5, of John Burroughs.
And John Burroughs was an elementary school.
It was. And now it's what you call an educational campus. So not only do we have little Head Start 3-year-olds walking around developing eighth graders with their own emotional issues that need certain attention. They need a certain kind of treatment and attention, and they need just specialized things. They need extracurricular activities. They need all kinds of drama, debate, chess, and they're not afforded any of those. And that's just a glaring disparity, because when you look at Ward 6, their schools, their middle schools are thriving. Chancellery is supporting them. She's strengthening them with resources. They're becoming international baccalaureate schools and programs in the middle schools in Ward 6. So why this disparity? I point to racism. It's, what else could it be? I mean, racism and classism. Why in one ward, Ward 5, predominantly African-American, you have nothing, no, not one middle school. And the parents are fighting. Please give us lockers. Give us a gym. Give us dance. Give us music. Give us art. But then on Capitol Hill, they're being afforded all of the amenities and the facilities and the activities and the wonderful things to make them international students prepared for high school.
Ward 5 is one of the largest wards in the city. We're talking in Ward 5 right now. John Burroughs is Ward 5. There's not one public middle school in the entire ward?
Not a one. No. They have all been just consolidated. So you have schools consolidating together. Bacchus, that was really our only, well, we had Bacchus and we had Taft. But at the time of the closure, Bacchus was the only middle school and that was closed.
We're talking about these education issues. They are going to be front and center to this mayoral race. And yet last night, Mayor Adrian Fenty was supposed to square up against his chief rival, Vincent Gray, at a debate, and I want to read you front page Metro section. The title of an article is "Fenty a No-Show at School's Debate." What's going on here? This is supposed to be a hallmark of this re-election, and yet it seems that the mayor doesn't want to talk about these issues.
Yeah, does he even want to be re-elected? I would question it. And it's either that, maybe he's having second thoughts, or maybe he's scared that the dirty laundry will come out and all of the dirty things that he's done. I mean, because let's be real, he's done some things that we haven't gotten answers for. And yeah, as you said, education was supposed to be his hallmark. But can he debate Vincent Gray? Maybe he can't. Maybe he's nervous. Maybe he's insecure. Maybe he rolls with a script and he can't do unscripted debates. Maybe that's it.
This fight to save John Burroughs started as a local effort and amazingly succeeded at the height of Fenty and Ree's popularity. But then you got in touch with others throughout the city and you've realized that this is really something that's happening across this country. Can you talk about your connections that you started making with various folks?
Yes, the connections, well, I'm now a member of Empower DC, and that was one powerful connection that was made at the time of the reform program. Parisa Neruzzi, she really just helped us to organize, helped us with strengthening our organizing efforts, and Zain Al-Amin, he was with Save Our Schools. He also helped us to realize that this, yeah, like you said, this is a national issue that's going on. Public schools are being destroyed, they're being closed, and they're being taken over by educational entrepreneurs, if you will, like Michelle Ree and Kevin Johnson and Wendy Kopp and Richard Barth and all of the wonderful Teach for America folks out there that think that they can do education better. And really what it's all about is they want that money. They want, it's a money game. They want the federal dollars. They're getting private dollars, and they're making millions of dollars off of the backs of public education. They're exploiting Black and Latino youth across the country. If you look at what's happening, because charter schools are moving in and taking over, they're taking the place of public schools. Like, for instance, I go back to John Burroughs. John Burroughs is situated on Monroe Street. And now, as we understand, Hyde Public Charter School will be moving into Taft, which is less than 10 yards from John Burroughs. And they are also going to be, in August, a pre-K through 8th. So now we will have to compete with high public charter who has private and public resources, and they'll have the bells and the whistles and the new this and the new that, and they'll be able to take trips, and they'll have Spanish and everything. So, and here we are struggling, begging, trying to rob Peter to pay Paul. So this is models that you have all across the country. In Chicago, Arne Duncan, that's what he does. He loves charter schools. And yes, Obama loves charter schools. It's business. It's money. And that's what it is. You look at Detroit, Chicago, San Diego, L.A. It's happening all over across the country. I've got this book that my colleague Nathan Saunders let me borrow, and it's called The Death and Life of the Great American School System by Diane Ravitch. And man, I would recommend that everybody read this book, because then you can get a picture. It's not just a Washington, D.C. thing. It's a national movement to really dismantle public education.
Any final thoughts you want to share, Maria Jones, as we head into this time, this election time? Any final thoughts you want to share about this so-called school reform, which you were on the target end of more than 3 years ago, and at a time when this was heralded as really the greatest thing, and now we're seeing some people begin to question it?
Yeah, we were always in question. The parents were always in question, but did they listen? That's the key. And, you know, because what is school reform? We hear that term thrown around so much. What reforming what to what is the question. And anytime you have reform, you need to have all of the stakeholders involved in the reform, especially the parents. I am my daughter's first teacher. So if the schools crumble today, I'm going to teach my daughter, but I'm in a position to do that, thank God. But most parents, no matter what their educational background or financial background, they know what their kids need and what works for their kids. So, yes, they should be at that table deciding on reform and what that reform is. The Capitol Hill parents are at the table of reform. We have an article from the Capitol Hill Rag that says middle school reform is proceeding. So, and the Capitol Hill parents, God bless them, and I admire them for it, they're right in on school reform. They're at the table of middle school reform. So now, let's get Ward 7, Ward 8, and all of the other wards, Ward 1 and 5, and the Hardy Middle School parents, let's get us in on reform. Let's not make it, why is it this difference? Capitol Hill parents can be sitting at the table with Michelle Rhee handing her proposals, and she's taking it in saying, oh yes, this will work. Let's get international baccalaureate programs in the middle schools in Ward 6. This sounds great. We want your kids to be smart and prepared international students ready for high school. But then our children, our parents are not in on the reform. That's phony reform. It's not reform at all. So I'm getting passionate, so I should sign off now.
Not quite yet.
Okay.
That passion is what saved John Burroughs. Have there been consequences for your speaking out?
Well, personal, sure. you know, I wouldn't try to get a job with the district government or D.C. public schools. I'm sure we couldn't. But, yeah, you know, our school is always under attack. Right now we have renovation taking place, and one of the salacious condo developers, Jim Abdo, is in on that. He's the main developer on that renovation. So that's interesting. And we, you know, why Jim Abdo? What do you have to gain from all this? Could it be the land once we are de-enrolled by Hyde? Let's look at that. That's a question that needs to be looked at. So that's kind of on the forefront of the neighborhood and community's mind. What? Why him and why? So, yeah, we have threats and they're real. And the struggle continues. It's hardly over. It's just a different, it just looks different.
Your husband suffered some health consequences during the currently continues to suffer him as a result of the struggle that you had to endure to keep John Burroughs alive.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was a physical, emotional, mental struggle, and things were just getting our household back together because it became this headquarters of operations to save our school. And then we branched out, and and formed the Coalition to Save Our Neighborhood Schools, so, you know, to try to help other parents realize their power. So, yeah, it's definitely had personal consequences as well.
Negative as well as some positive. Lacey, positive. Your daughter has a neighborhood school to attend.
That's it. That's it. A neighborhood school to attend and just, you know, just forging friendships and relationships. And of course, we love our teachers at the school. So we're stronger than ever in one sense, but we have so much road to cover in another sense. So God is good. The Creator always knows best.
Thanks, Maria Jones.
Thank you. Peace, Pete.